Blog Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome as we step into another version of Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Mike Willis Ingram, and as always, it is great being with you. Soul Tree Radio on the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASN Newsroom and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. You get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at BASN at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Band Network who I hope will be checking in with you. You should be aware of, or you should know, that although October 15th isn't here yet, it is the day traditionally in New York when, if you live in a tenement, the building must have heat. They can't get away without giving it any heat. Otherwise, they're in trouble. Having said that, we've got trouble of another kind coming up because the government has asserted and announced once again that the use of deadly force on anything pumpkin spice has been authorized. I can't stand. How the fuck, or to quote my brother Reggie, how in the ham sandwich can anybody enjoy anything pumpkin spice? I ask you. As a matter of fact, I'll ask him. Reggie, are you there?
How the ham sandwich pumpkin spice to give the animals when they got diarrhea? I get it to my dog when he gets diarrhea. Well, I don't know what the ham sandwich is. I know diarrhea and pumpkin spice is good for animals with diarrhea.
I got my brother Tony with me as well. I got to ask you guys, fellas, when the fuck did pumpkin spice become popular? I really don't know.
Well, first of all, I just lost my appetite. Thank you very much.
Sorry, Pete.
Ham.
Hey,
ham sandwiches, and pumpkin pie. What are you trying to give me an aneurysm?
No way. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, T, that's Lee Koso, with his second prediction that was wrong.
Oh, man, please.
I won't bring up Fat Boy Jason Whitlock. He's a disgrace. I won't even waste my time with
him. Oh, what did
Is he still eating?
Yes, and he's hitting 400 plus now.
Good. They're gonna need a larger network at Fox.
I was gonna say
they kicked him to the curb at Fox. He ain't at Fox no more.
Mm-hmm.
No sir. They took an enema and got rid of 400-pound turd.
I was gonna say if they didn't get rid of him, he would have ate him. But I doubt that. Anyway, I should bring this up for edification. Now, in my last year of high school, my school, George Washington High School, home of Rod Carew and Manny Ramirez, changed to an artificial turf field. I ended up playing on it one day in a pickup game. I was playing in the infield, and I had a ground ball come at me, a hot shot.
Mm-hmm.
That shit came at me at lightning speed. If I did not have teenage reflexes at the time, I probably would have broken an elbow. That's how hard it was on the artificial turf. And I bring this up because the NFL Players Association, home of the Invisible Man, have decided that they can't play on turf anymore.
We're not going to take it.
No, shit.
No, we ain't going to take it. Well, it's you know, as is always, it always takes somebody getting killed or tearing their Achilles to
Everything's
good until somebody tears their Achilles, and then all of a sudden that takes all the fun out. That takes all the fun out of it.
No shit.
You know, where have you been? Look. End of the day, when they came up with artificial turf, and now I guess they have this, like, for lack of a better word, physical play dough that can basically pop up in your face, what have you. They're not thinking of, you know, there is nothing to go on with players. You know, if I hear another dweeb from the NFL talk about player safety, I'm gonna tear his Achilles.
No shit.
Because it's no good. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, it's the budding hypocrisy. It's like, I didn't hear shit from Goodell when a fan was shot at a baseball game. If nothing else, to just make a rough statement about the fact that we can't have the safety of the fans jeopardized in any fashion or form. And, of course, the baseball commissioner still hasn't said shit yet. I got Eric Sonnenberg in the mix as well. Yeah. How do you all take this? Eric, it's like,
what's up?
We've seen them play football on painted dirt, basically.
Right, right.
And now they want to go back to the green grass and home. What do you say?
Yeah, great point. I mean, of course the tree's on it. The moment I've seen another NFL player get wiped out on the MetLife Field. I remember 5 years ago, the 49ers came into MetLife and had 3 ACLs that game. And I think one of them was Nick Bosa, too. And so they lost 3 players on that field. And I remember, Eric Armstead, you know, mentioning, they were just talking about the field. And like, man, what's the best part of this game is not the win. In fact, we got out of here. But we lost 3 players to ACL, so that's the first thing that came to mind when I seen a basic tackle and, you know,
yep.
Rodgers playing on that grass all the years up in Green Bay, ice,
mm-hmm.
right? Never had that problem. But the previous play, he tweaked it the first time when he escaped the sack.
Right.
He had a little – remember that? I think that was the precursor,
mm-hmm.
like the one that loosened it up.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
mm-hmm.
And then
the literal camel that broke the first play. Yep, the literal camel that broke the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah, exactly. That was the one that did the first stretch job, because it's usually compounded. Then the second time, he's just basically is planting. He got a little weak, but the turf gave. Not his leg.
Yeah.
The turf gave. And he tried to push off, what, I don't know how many years he's played in the league, 16, 17, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
He's done
something
that a million
like
times, but he had no traction. So he understands getting the right shoe wear. But, you know, even with the Giants game, you got guys splattered with this little pebbly shit, you know, all over their face with the rain. No telling what the contents of that is. So finally MetLife gets their just deserved syrup and rewards for destroying so many other players. When you had this one guy come in with the most hype thing, you know, there's only 2 pinatas getting rolled out this big. There's one in Colorado, there's another one in New York.
You're right about that.
And
mm-hmm.
pinata number one, stuffed full of treats, you know, and candies, and we blindfold the people with their stick, and they blindfold them, and they keep whacking at that pinata until it busts. The goal is it doesn't happen. And I mean, no lie, man, you know how we talk. I went play two, I was like, you know, I had a flash thought, and I said, why don't you get the season-ending injury today? Literally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just a flash thought. I didn't stick to it. You know how things pop in your dome, and you just, you know, think about it and let it go, right? And 2 plays later, ka-pop. I said, oh, my God, this cat's not getting back up. And
no shit.
That field is absolutely ridiculous. Now, when you coach whatever sport it is, right, like high school baseball players, I'm sorry, high school baseball coaches I know in areas, I know they do it in California. A lot of times they have to go draw the lines themselves, right? Get the paint out,
mm-hmm.
set the lines, rake the yard.
Coach Rob basically did that damn near his whole career.
Exactly. I mean, the labor and those dudes who keep the Major League Baseball fields, what do they call them again? They roll out the tarp and
tarp crews, basically.
Yeah. Well, I forgot their name exactly. You know, but those dudes do incredible work when you see how immaculate the fields are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're immaculate. I mean, and when you coach, you pay attention to the facilities. You know, you pay attention to the facilities, and you need the right facilities, like the field. Like, for example, a brief note, when I was coaching prep, we were known for speeding up tempo. So guess what? Every road game, we were dealing with slick floor. To cut our speed, right? So you know what the trade-off was? I have a wet tile. You know, the check that gave traction to the rubber. That didn't work.
Back in the day, when Maury Wills, broke Ty Cobb's record, all of a sudden they would muddy up home plate or what have you. Same thing happened to Vince Coleman.
And you're right. And Madden used to complain on road games because, you know, the Raiders like to play the speed game and the deep ball game. They flood the field. They water down the field to make it a little sludgy. You know what I'm saying?
It's ironic. Speaking of the Jets, a lot of Jet fans hate Don Shula. It's not so much that he beat them a lot or whatever, but I can hear Jet fans screaming again. 1982 AFC Championship game, torrential rains the day before. No tarp. The tarp was left off the field the night before. And it was literally a quagmire when they got there. The Jets, who were mainly a running team, although they could pass the ball, but they were mainly a running team. And again, also to piggyback with the Raiders, how Eric mentioned, the year after. I think it was two years after the Immaculate Reception game, Oakland and Pittsburgh played in the AFC Championship game, which was basically played on a cake of ice. Al Davis, before the game said this game shouldn't be played because this is terrible field conditions. And, of course, Roselle, being the great football mind that he is, hey, it's bad for both teams. And he said, damn it, Pete, you don't even know what the hell you're saying. We're a speed team.
And that's the gamesmanship, because even on that game that for Syndicals, the frozen tundra, right? Cowboy game, right? When it was just freeze. What do they call that? The freeze ball, the ice ball,
the ice
or something.
Ball.
Lombardi had underground heating pipes on the field, right? It didn't work, but I mean, when it's cold, it's cold, you know.
Yeah.
Especially 60s technology was not going to pull that off, but he gave it a whirl. You know, he gave it away. Remember, now back to the fielding. See, this is key components. And, of course, the tree's all over it because it was a field condition thing that got Rodgers. I remember, was it the Astros? Remember that they had a Super Bowl turf? And guys like Pete Rose would go up and they start shouting at the ball.
Astrodome was basically the first.
Remember that turf? You hit a ground ball, that thing would bounce like 20 points.
There's a famous quote by Walter Alston. The Dodgers are playing their first game at the Astrodome. I think it's like Don Sutton or somebody's pitching, and he's getting wrecked. But the thing is, it's these shots that are, it's these ground ball shots that are being hit at the players, And Austin basically said, "Don, I'm taking you out not just because you're getting lit up, but we've got married men on the infield, and I'd like for them to at least be able to."
I remember Pete Rose, right? Pete Rose used to go to that field and literally chop down on the ball so it could bounce off the infield
yeah.
into the outfield.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, but, you know, back to the field thing now, I remember the Rams had an outbreak of, I forgot the term, when you get a rash, right, that turns
staff infection.
That turns it, staff, thank you, staff infection off the turf. Because, you know, all those elbow burns on the turf, got many players
mm-hmm.
getting that term. All the money being poured in, you know, into MetLife, the Giants and the Jets ownership, Mara and Woody Johnson, you guys are just whatever you want to call them negatively because they did not invest in the field, which makes
also,
no sense in an area where you should have grass. Yankee Stadium had grass back in the day. Now, the Meadowlands, right, didn't have an issue with the turf initially. There's a lot of guys, too, getting burned off with the turf.
Didn't they switch to grass at some point in time? The Meadowlands has always been turf. Yeah, it's always been turf. But see, here's the thing. Doug Kotar, Carl Nelson.
Yeah, a lot of guys died
John,
off that shit.
All three of them eventually died of cancer. Remember what was out there in the Meadowlands before it was built. Sewage. If you drive by there, you can still smell some of the god awful smells of all time.
Whenever you hit the Jersey Turnpike out there, everything's smoking, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You got all types of shit smoking, man. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, in the sky, those factories there, man, it's always lit up.
SJ-13, Elizabeth, you could smell it as soon as it hits, boy. It's like,
And the metal and MetLife Stadium is exit 16A, if I'm correct.
It is horrid. That field is inexcusable. I mean, those pebbles popping up like that on players' bodies, what is it made of? What's the composition of those damn rubber pellets or whatever they're using?
People are inhaling that shit.
As physical as football is, there's no way when they hit the ground that people are not inhaling that shit physically, ingesting it nasally, or even with their mouths when they sit in the field.
Besides getting skunked, one of the most haunting images of Sunday night's game was when they showed Daniel Jones after he was face planted. It was kind of eerie.
I seen an image where Dak was loaded up.
Yeah.
That field is heinous.
Dak wears that thing that the linemen wear. He wears the shield.
Yes, he wears that shield, man. That chin strap's not blocking shit. You're getting that stuff down when you're flashing.
You know what? Look, chin strap there so you don't get your neck snapped. Basically.
That's about it. Keep that hat on, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it popped. Dude planted his foot. You can watch his calf, Rogers. That is, you can watch his calf pulsate, which is never good for a Achilles. But he couldn't plant. He tried to plant. It didn't help having a little extra weight on him from Ford, I believe his name was, who made the tackle. But he couldn't plant, and it gave. And once he pushed into the ground, there was no ground but a bunch of pebbles and a wet field.
Exactly. Yeah.
And didn't they play
exactly
the night
right.
before? They played
yeah.
the
oh,
night
yeah.
before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
no
yeah.
way
this
that
the first
field
time.
Was in condition. And the rain and weather was worse on the Giants game than it was on Monday night.
Exactly. Yes, and remember, it rained. It had rained during the pretty much all day Monday.
Yeah, I mean, we grew up in inclement weather. You know, if you hit a mud puddle wrong or black ice, you go in the opposite direction on how
true
you
that.
Plant if you don't pay attention. So MetLife finally swallowed up one of their own after destroying so many other players.
But the horror story of horror stories has got to be Wendell Davis. The old vet. Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. I mean, it was basically painted over concrete.
Horrible.
Wendell Davis, who was a wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, once came to the turf and after an incomplete pass, grabbed both his legs. Apparently, the force was so bad that his kneecaps ended up in his thighs. Marinate on that shit for a second. His kneecaps ended up in his thighs.
It can happen.
Never mind the amount of torque that would cause that kind of an injury. The fact that there's no give, no give at all, and they still waited at least another couple of seasons before the vet was trashed. And no one said boo about artificial turf or the dangers thereof.
And
Michael Irvin almost got paralyzed in that same field.
Exactly. And to this day, that's still the only stadium where a game was canceled, albeit an exhibition game, where it was literally unplayed. I mean, it was put it this way. Remember going to the old discount stores, like, you know, I'm dating myself here, Bradley's,
Dated.
Mammoth Mart, and whatever.
Yeah.
Imagine playing on
Who
that
died?
With the basically you're playing on that with basically a less than 2-inch thin carpet. When you look at the teams that played on grass, right?
If you look at the team, like in Green Bay, you know, you don't see anyone ACL in Green Bay. They played on grass in, you know, natural field, right?
Absolutely.
Minnesota, I mean, that was no one should have ever had that. Those Minnesota Viking home games and shit, December and November, was insane when you look back at how they played in the 70s, right?
And Eric, the league had a nerve to have them play 4 o'clock games after the second.
I mean, you look at that stadium they were playing. First of all, it wasn't cut right. It looked like it was higher than Mount Davis at an athletic game. Those people were packed in. No one left that field. Was a hot mess, and plus they had a good team, which means they always played late in the season, right? When the weather was worse. Bud Grant wasn't flinching. Eller and Page didn't give an F. Talking to them dudes was running around all over the place, and no one had a major injury from all those All-Pro players because they were in those conditions.
Personally, I think Bud Grant died 20 years ago, but they were afraid to tell him. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he's a
cryogenic to the sideline.
I remember the game that the Rams played against the Vikings in Metropolitan Stadium. It's fucking freezing. And
unbelievable.
They are losing their motherfucking mind. No shirt, chest hairs jacking out and whatnot. And the Rams are holding their nuts because the field is fucking freezing.
I mean, that field was so effed up, Mike. It was so effed up. Both teams were the same sideline.
Both teams were the same sideline.
Yeah, exactly.
I got the professor with me as well. And professor, you know, artificial turf has been a passion and a poison for the league for a long time. And they got away for a lot of years with making money off of it and never speaking about grass and the benefits as opposed to the detriment of it. What say you on this? And good evening.
Good evening.
What
okay.
Is it, Professor?
The problem that you're dealing with here is there's two kind of turf. One is the old style turf, which was basically nothing. but concrete asphalt.
Yeah.
Some old stuff that was basically almost like styrofoam.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you get it, the more it broke up, which actually took it in the right direction. Problem was, it was all glued together. So
right.
At the end of the day, you had instead of playing with sneakers, you played with cleats, which dug
mm.
into this stuff and
exactly.
destabilized you just trying
mm-hmm.
to run.
It broke it up. Mm-hmm.
My first encounter with that was we went to play Cameron University the year or the second year they were Division II. And we practiced on grass. And I don't know where anybody even had, this was like early 80, 81. I don't know anybody in this area that actually had turf. But, you know, in the South, we grow grass. We landed in Texas. It was we landed in Oklahoma. It was 120 degrees.
Right.
This stuff was almost like you know how you take a mirror and send the light back through your eyes?
Yep.
This stuff was horrible. I was the only one that didn't get dehydrated because I worked in the booth. And this stuff was crazy. And Oklahoma, schools in Oklahoma, if you had football, you had a turf field. Same thing with a lot of college sports in Texas. Even to this day, high schools out there have a turf field indoors and a grass field indoors. This is a 4A, 5A, 6A school, but this is how they think of football out there. And if you remember around the late 70s, early 80s, when they came up with this suggestion, why don't we play in sneakers instead of cleats?
Mm-hmm.
The league fought it for a while before eventually giving in to that. And so many guys, great players had their careers shortened or dulled because of knee injuries. As you played, you had a lot of ACL tears, and years later, your ankles were bad.
And hips. Yeah, and your hips.
And your hips and lower back, and not a little needless to say, your psychotic nerve would be messing with you the rest of your life. That was just a fact. And you had fight schools who could afford this stuff. You know, when we got to Oklahoma, first thing they did, they had shoes for the visiting team that were sneakers.
Yep.
Plain and simple. And some of the guys didn't want to do it, but turned out to be the best thing they did was issue a sneaker. Because visiting teams, visiting teams were used to wearing cleats. And even to this day, I know guys who swear that their careers would have gone, and with some factual support, their careers would have gone much better had they never played on turf, especially that old stuff they used to have. Because I remember when they took up a field here in North Carolina, it was crazy. This all the cushion that they supposedly had, and we won't even get into bad drainage, but all the cushioning they supposed to have, it was long gone. They literally, when they had to crack the concrete, and they just cracked the concrete through the surface. And there was almost nothing in between.
All for the sake of maintenance, right? Because they just don't want the grass. I mean, there's a whole science to the different grass that they use for Major League Baseball and how they grow it a certain time of year. I mean, I literally seen a documentary on the Padres when they were planning for the season, and they groom that grass like a farmer before opening day, months before they get on the field. Now, dude like Rodgers, I believe their training camp was on grass, correct? Where they trained on grass.
They trained on grass.
They trained on grass. He spent, what, 50% of home games on grass up there in Green Bay. Frozen turf, this, that, and the other. It's mainly grass. And then I believe in the league, other than maybe road games, Chicago's grass, Minnesota's probably turf.
Detroit's been turf for years. Although, but see, here's the thing. Now, two parks in particular, Candlestick Park and the original Comiskey Park.
Right.
Back in the early 70s, San Fran, which was one of those stadiums that seated to that catered to two teams, the Niners and the Giants. In the early 70s, they went to turf.
Right.
And then by 1978, 79, they changed back to grass.
Right.
And Candlestick Park was never the same, especially football wise. It was even on a sunny day when it's 80 degrees, it would always look like the field was mud. And
it's the location, right? It's the location near the bay.
It's
right off the bay there, literally.
And see, also the transition, because again, you go back, you have to remember, when you go to turf,
when you change the top crop, when you change the top topography of the soil from turf to grass, there's a time frame.
You basically went, you originated as grass.
Right.
You were turf for about 4 or 5 years,
and then you go back to grass.
And the grass never mixed.
Well, if you're in the state of California, it makes absolutely no sense to have any external stadium non-grass. All of them do. Anaheim, Chavez Ravine, Pac Bell, the soon-to-be-gone Athletics, right? It's all grass. All the NFL teams. Well, I believe the Rams and the Chargers play grass, right? Or did they turf that shit up too?
I think you know what? For the money that they pay for that, I'd be shocked if it's grass. I think it's
doesn't appear when you think about the field as grass, but it might be.
And also, Eric, this much like MetLife, they share it with the Chargers.
Right.
Aware. Your collegiate programs in the FBS, I don't think any of the so-called power schools use turf.
So a lot of them.
Alabama, Michigan, Tennessee, CLAFCs, Iowa, Penn State. That's great.
Now a lot of them, and Ohio State comes to mind. Ironically, Ohio State and Michigan, if I remember correctly, they used to be turf, and then they switched back to grass. But what they did was when they made the transition, they had a whole off season to get it right. And that's why they've been able to make the transition. And see, also, what are they hosting? Maybe 3-4 games a year?
So they
have the opportunity. Now see, it's interesting. As non-union as baseball is, there's only a handful of turf fields left now.
Well, when I was thinking about Rose, that's when he was playing in Philly, where he make that catch at first base and then bounce that ball off the turf
before he ran into
the dugout. And that ball would go 15 feet in the air off that turf.
That was the old vet. And again, so many of the – now – the whole deal when they, this was after, I guess, the Astrodome opened up. Then you started seeing the cookie cutter fields, Riverfront Stadium, Three Rivers Stadium, Bush, the old Bush. and they were multi-purpose, because in most of the instances, a baseball and football team were sharing the field, and that's why that. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the ultimate was back in 1975. Shea Stadium hosted the Mets, the Jets, the Yankees, and the Giants. They hosted four teams in a 12-month span.
And Shea
was never the same. Shea was never the same after that.
And good evening, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
Hey, Patrick. What's up?
And that's why Giants eventually moved over to New Haven.
Exactly. They did that year at Yale Bowl, and a parking nightmare. By the way, I can tell you stories about that, because Yale Bowl was literally it was, you know, this was, you know, especially football. It's been more of a thing with football over the years, of course, but. You know, I'm also reminded of, you know, Andre Dawson, who always said the 10 years he spent in Montreal probably took,
destroyed,
you know,
his knees. Yeah.
No question. Destroyed his knees. But the fact that they had to wait for a star to lose their money, or I should say their knees, was more to the NFL's detriment than trying to come off holier than thou. Play more arbitrage for anybody.
Well, the NFL has just lost, 18 weeks of Aaron Rodgers updates?
Yeah. Mike, let me throw something on that. You know something? As devastating as that injury was, I think it was a fluke. Even though I listened to the doctor said they knew as soon as he saw it was Achilles, which is the injury I fear most of all my life.
Okay.
But it was a fluke. And I'm saying that because of the fact that I was doing some research a while back on the shifting jersey on fields. And there are some fields, some high school fields in Georgia that are really well equipped, where it's going to be hard to go back to grass because of the multiplicity of making it palatable for soccer. And football, and it's well kept.
Yeah.
So the problem comes in if you got these old fields. Matter of fact, they just put one in Jersey City. You got these old fields where they don't change, they don't upgrade, and they just put a new field in over MetLife. They just put a new field over there. But I don't know.
A filler on MetLife, because that's not natural turf.
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, we know in sports, right, if there's a doubleheader, let's say at the Garden in New York, right, the Rangers play, the ice was placed out. Then the Knicks play the next night. For some reason, they schedule an afternoon game, maybe it was a Christmas Day game, and players are slipping everywhere because the moisture underneath the court is seeping up.
Yeah.
NFL football, there was a potential hurricane hitting the East Coast. And the Giants and Cowboys played a full game on that field in very wet conditions. 24 hours is not enough to have that field ready the next day. And it's still wet.
And it never rained.
Especially
when it rained, how heavy it rained on Monday, too.
They oversaturated the field. We were watching these pebbles or these rubber, whatever they call those little dots,
popping up. Yeah.
All game long. So we know in injuries are freaky. You get wrong angle, wrong twist, wrong angle.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that was that the right cleat? This man has never played on that field. He's escaped. The previous play, he got clipped up, right? That was the precursor. Maybe not, right? Loosened up. Then the second time, he just got weighted down. Now, he's done that little grab, tackle, spin move shit 1,000 times, that move when someone's taking him from behind.
Exactly.
That wasn't like an unfamiliar Aaron Rodgers, you know, maneuver. But then again, your equipment manager, was that the right cleat for the field? Did it hold? Did it serve? Was it a chance to allow it to slide? Mm-hmm. So we play sports all the time, and we know you need you, real quick, like 5 seconds, 10 more seconds here. When you stretch and get loose, it was mandatory. You know, my prep coaching days, we stretch like almost like a track team before we even got on the field, right, to get loose, because that encumbers the injury, so you can stay out of it in a funny situation or a funny flight. LeBron James plays a guy. Millions. I don't know how much he pays him, but he's part of his staff.
He teaches
him how to land after a shot. There's a technique for parachutists of how you land. If you're in the military, you know there's a landing grid, right? So this guy's a pro. He's been there a zillion times. He's got 300 pounders chasing him for his career. In my estimate, it's the field giveaway. I'd be pissed off as hell, you know, as a coaching standpoint. Because it just wasn't the right thing, and maybe it wasn't the right cleat, the right shoe. You got to endure that one. These are your wheels. These are your tires. It just pops, man. And it pops on the push down on the field with no ankle twist, not leaning right, not leaning left, not leaning front, not leaning back. It gave away because the extra weight upon him, he couldn't hold him. That field couldn't hold him up. Pop, pop.
Fred, before you go on, I'm going to say this real quickly. The amount of people, now, Fred, you and I are old enough to know, we play ball. Did you get taped before every game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As you get old, it almost becomes mandatory.
After high school in practice. But the thing that I was looking at, and I've only seen the thing about half a dozen times, one of the rules changes where you can't get a run through a quarterback was that stupid rule they got where you can't let your weight come down on.
The anti-physics rule.
No pancake. The no pancake rule.
Oh, Fred, you brought that up. Lord Jesus.
And, you know, the thing that I was looking at was, okay, here comes Tony, grabbed him, and he has a roll off on him. What did he, when he rolled the direction where he was going, which direction was he going? To the rear of him. So that twist plants his feet into the carpet.
Exactly. The extra pressure into the ground, 100.
And all that weight, he would have been better off getting hit straight on. But
100%. I mean, the dude's got strong calves, right? I just pushed off for his pass, and Roger's got strong calves, man.
Yeah.
That's obviously visibly, right? The calf gave way because of the weight in the turf. You're 100 because he's done that many times. And that extra weight is just enough to tweak shit, you know? And then the heel can't hold you up because it's wet, it's gushy. And you're in that soft spot. If you look where he's sitting and landing, you look at the turf at that time, there is hardly any grass. Grass cover, but we see a lot of that murky little rubber path crap surrounding everywhere, which cannot hold in that wet environment.
To steal the title of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie, The Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah, there it is.
and to speak to Tony's green bastard factor, the NFL dropped the ball on the cash cow aspect of this move.
Big time. They lost a lot of money Monday night. You're right about that.
But you know what's funny, Mike, is that they're still backtracking. Look. In lieu of just someone just basically dropping them dead, they don't, you know, at this, even as much as they may lose money with Rodgers, they're going to look at it as, okay, you know, collateral damage. Collateral damage.
When did Clemenza say Godfather 1 when he told Michael? He said, hey, you know, we're going to make the gun loud so it doesn't bother some innocent, out-of-the-way bystanders and shit, right? Like, they just come on.
Pretty much.
They're just collateral. You know, in the military, it's called collateral damage, right, when there's people in the midst who get clipped. I heard someone suggest, with the Jets, these, all these, you know, news media houses that had 18 weeks set up for the Aaron Rodgers story and all the hype that went around to watch them. I mean, it looked like DraftKings. All these motherfuckers lost money with DraftKings with all their facial expressions.
Yeah. No shit.
I mean,
it was like when Brady went down week one a few years back. They tried to make it a freaking national buzz. They wanted to have like a national mourning. Like, please.
But you know, I want to go back to what Fred and we came in. You got tape every practice. You'd be surprised at the amount of players that do not have any tape on their ankles. What's
the
guy
in the NBA? The low top became fashionable for the kicks environment.
He was with Seattle. He was Florida wide receiver. He had because I shot you know at 10 o'clock in the morning, and
was
he came back out. You know you do your warm ups, but he came back out in the field with low cuts. You know the basketball socks low cut. And nothing on his ankles. I'm going, how is he playing like that? I don't know what Aaron had on his ankles. I mean, guys don't do that these days.
The unfortunate thing with the Achilles, it won't help. You know, with the tape, you know, because of the angle. Yeah, it won't help. It won't hold the Achilles. It'll hold the ankle, but not the Achilles, because you keep the Achilles flexible with the tape job, right?
Yeah.
So the thing was, it was the weight of these super strong players who got to, you know, do these things. And again, that effing turf. But the same point, too, and you're right, because in the NBA, if you realize, almost everyone is wearing low tops.
Yeah.
And that has everything to do with the kick environment and marketing, not what's good for your foot.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing to do with your foot.
As the Zion's ankles.
Correct. Because what it is right now, somehow or another, what we would call sneakers are now being worn with three-piece suits and shit. So it's a kick environment. So if you go to the game and you watch your favorite NBA player in low tops, you go, yeah, that would look really good with my fit this Friday at the park. You know what I mean? As opposed to seeing that strictly as a basketball shoe.
And you know what's so funny is that you look at the color pictures of the NBA players now, and of course, you know, they got their basically designer jeans, shoes. But then you look at some of those pictures back in the day. I mean, it's still crazy to me that Bill Russell basically wore the same Chuck Taylors that
Black and white, low tops too.
Yes.
I mean, Russell didn't wear high tops. Chamberlain wore the top. You know, everyone wore
high tops
like Chamberlain. But you wore them for the ankles. Julius Erving, aka Dr. J, would get his shoes like three notches higher for his ankles.
Right. Yeah.
But everyone primarily wore high tops. The shoes Jordan pushed, his Air Jordan shoes, were always high tops initially. Coming out of college, everyone played Magic shoe being pushed with high tops. Remember that Hey Dr. J commercial with the conversation?
Where'd you get them shoes?
Where you get those moves?
Are you wearing magic shoes? Guys, I apologize for putting myself and Bill Russell in the same sentence, by the way.
In a Negro Domus moment here. You know, I'm looking for them. I did a self-anointed Negro Domus badge today because preseason I stated that Jordan Love will have a better NFL season than Aaron Rodgers. It's in the books. It's done.
He won the bet already. He already won the bet.
Absolutely.
You're right.
Looks good.
It's done. You know, that's what happens at the tree. But really good takes, man. It was a tough break, you know, for Rodgers. But man, when I seen that turf, and I recall 5 years ago, I think it was that long, watching the Niners go into MetLife, and I think the Raiders came there too, not too long after when what's his name was still coaching them, Gruden, and the Jets lost a game on like a 80-yard bomb or something with 2 minutes 30 seconds left or something.
No post defense.
Remember that? But the Niners lost three players that game, and I believe the Raiders lost two on the same field if it wasn't back-to-back weeks. but they got ACL out, and they were ripping the turf, the 49er team, coaches and players, and GM.
One thing, just before we end the turf conversation, I did the game 2 weeks ago when Gremlin played Hampton at the Red Bull Arena, which is the arena for the Red Bull soccer team here locally. I was on the field, and I don't know if it was grass or if it was rubber, but I didn't see anything flying up. And it's amazing how bare grass with the soccer players can stay. I mean, obviously the cleats are different and the weight of the people is different. But it leads me to believe that maybe something can be rectified. I don't know how.
The Cosmos, when they were playing there, Pele and them cats, the New York Cosmos, that was turf.
That was that hard. That's a turf years ago. That's
all right, so that was not grass with the Cosmos.
No, that was a hard turf.
All right, got it.
You could play basketball on that one.
Sorry, yeah. Good. I got it.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I want to bring up something that I think we should look at and deal with tonight.
All right.
You guys, last week was the opening week of the NFL. Their viewership was up 24% from last year.
Really?
That means everybody was making money. However,
you know how much was prime time making?
Prime time.
I'm sorry.
Amazon Prime.
What's up, Red?
Prime. What are we talking about?
Well, you know they're going to Colorado this week. They're going to Colorado this week.
They're going back to Colorado.
Yeah, they're going back to Colorado.
Fox broadcast the first two games.
The entire morning show from Colorado. Yeah. Oh, but what I was going to say was just about the NFL. We're all in terms of all the information about the NFL. We don't know the name. Jim Trotter could be familiar with you, Mike, and other people.
Yes, sir.
As a writer for the NFL, he is a he's in
the brother,
NGB,
right?
Award winner. Also, he was an award winner from the Pro Football Hall of Fame writers. But
yes,
you know, he's no longer with the NFL Network. And
was he with USA Today?
Yesterday,
and
he sued the NFL for his job.
Yep.
And yes. And
the NFL did what?
He sued the NFL.
Oh, okay.
He's with the NFL Network. He's been exposed to NFL. You know, the last two Super Bowls, he talked when they had the open when they had the press conference for the commissioner talking about the state of the league. 2 years ago, he stated about the inability of diversity within the reporting on the league. Now,
He was right.
But here's the killer. Not only was he right, again, he sued yesterday. And that suit is going to be along with, you know, Brian Flores still has his suit out. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And John Gruden.
Even though he's still with Pittsburgh Steelers. But the killer for me is this. Killer for me is there are two state attorney generals in New York and in California.
Yes,
sir. Who are now involved in an investigation of racial and sexual discrimination of the NFL. And nobody talking about.
There you go.
Well, that's something we talked about the lady that was with the Raiders and was suing the NFL for special NFL film.
Okay, now when those owners get together, no media is allowed at all, right?
What happened because one of the Buffalo Bills owner said,
"Oh yeah, and Jerry Jones,
and Travis kind of quoted." That, you know, if the NFL players don't like it, they can go back to Africa. And he can't say that.
Why would you be surprised Why would you do that?
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael.
No, but this is the thing, gentlemen. That was a closed-door meeting with the owners, and Patrick backed me up. Somebody leaked that information and tried to use it part of his lawsuit. Am I right?
I would
what do you
so.
Expect but pig but a grunt? I know,
we know who leaked it.
But it's going to take them a while down the road because they will drag
here's the question, Patrick. Who just got $60 million taken out of their pocket before the deal was signed? And this man is pissed because those owners took $60 million out of his pocket.
Got me on that one. It's interesting when these people associate and write years of puff pieces for the NFL.
Exactly.
Supporting
exactly.
and promoting their brand, puff
That's
piece
true.
After puff piece after puff piece, which has no realm of any kind of depth. And then when people find out that the player that they've been honoring and loving so much is a true beyond something different, right? You fill in the blank because the puff piece never exposed that, right?
And
it always talks. So these people rise up through the circles. They get their little media button, right? They get a chance to sit in the booth, hang around the players, and shit don't go right. Now they're ready to bite the hand that feeds them. So, you know, rule book 101 is, you know, where the F did you ever stand up and take a stand in the past? You know what I mean? And now all of a sudden, you're shaking that ass and the shucking and jiving is over. You find out you got played like a pauper. Now you're pissed. Good.
And Eric, I'm going to give a perfect example of that.
I can't stand that shit, Pat. You know what I mean?
I'm going to give a perfect example of it. Demaris, the guy who just
NPA,
he wrote a scathing article about the NFL and what they were doing. Well, how come we weren't talking about it before? As you were leaving.
Hello.
What was that brother that was the NBA Hunter? Remember Billy Hunter?
No.
Billy Hunter, the NBA Players Association dude?
Yes.
Remember Billy Hunter?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Billy Hunter, you know, rode Stern's jock since Custer was a Boy Scout. Then, you know, did a few things like that. Then he tried to go ahead with Stern, and they broke it off in him so deep.
Yes, they did. I was in the
because
time.
While
yes,
you're
did.
Sitting there borderline, like this brother here, oh, they know all his peccadillos. They probably got tape of his ass, you know, trying
you
to
know they
with cheerleaders with the fucking trying to hook up with
the
NFL
Russian
cheerleaders
Pete
and shit.
Donald Trump act on them, huh?
These guys never stood for shit. Like a guy like Bill Rhodes, he gets my respect because he's always been like on that plate. You know what I mean?
I know Bill real well.
Right, Bill Rhodes props, bro. You know what I mean? That Professor Whitty. I mean, guys who stand up and not a sit down dudes, right? So you've been sitting in the booth, riding the jock straps, you know, kissing ass. Now something go your way, you see them. If you like it or not, you're effing ingrate because that's what gave you your props. Now you're going to go against the hand that feeds you and try to ride shotgun because something pissed you off. I can't ride with that cat because the thing is, it's like we all talk about respect. If you take a job and the job's got some issues with it, but they break you off a few things, but you still maintain your dignity and respect for your bennies, for your income, feed your family, that helps your ass. Right?
Yeah.
Now, if you have one little moment of histrionics and then you want to go through and ride and put this stuff in place after developing 3-plus decades as a so-called NFL insider, man, get out of here.
Yeah, really.
Hey, Patrick, congratulations on your Cleveland boys. Hey,
Ooh.
Patrick, congratulations on Cleveland taking care of business last week. Shut the high price quarterback Brad up. Hey, how's the feel, Patrick?
Like you've been spraying their butt off.
Reg, you know what the bottom line is? He's still cashing them.
A good running game. Yeah, the good running game. That was the bottom line. They had a good running game.
I mean, Joe Burrows deserved that. He was crip walking in some video right before the game.
And they were smacking the piss out of him, too. But what got me was what's the guy, the receiver, Chase, with the crazy-ass statement says, well, we ain't scared of the elves. Come on. Because you and LeBron have an elf.
Elves.
That sounds like Colorado in the corn. They threw the corn in.
Well, mentioning Colorado, I will say this.
They threw the corn in the
chest. And jiving in Boulder, Colorado has reached an exponential level.
Hey, but Pat, how much money is Deion making that state of Colorado right now?
Here's what Deion has done already. Deion has already paid back what they spent for him to come to the car road. He's already made that back and some.
You got a certain coach with the Michigan State that booty get him cost him $75 million.
Mel Tucker.
Am I thinking that they might try to get Deion to come to Michigan State?
No.
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 I'll
talk about that a little later on. I'll talk about that a little later on.
Well, first
because
of
I'm
all,
gonna say,
yeah.
What,
first
no,
of all,
no,
you have
might,
a,
hey, Alabama Greg, might try to get Deion.
They really need is Deion's assistant coach because there's the one coaching it up.
Who the Flea from Howard University? What the Flea?
The coordinators, right? The Caucasian coordinators. His defensive coordinator and his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Right? Those dudes are coaching the team.
He got a host of very big coaches.
That's my point. He's got an A-list assistant.
Oh, they're gonna pick that staff clean next year, boy.
Yeah.
Them boys.
You got that right.
Well,
you got that right.
They're gonna pick them clean.
Yes. You got those guys came there to audition.
They're
not like for
cheerleaders like he did at Howard. Tell the Flea, leave the Chili's alone.
Well, Reggie, before they get the next year, you have to remember this. Vegas told everybody that Colorado would only win 3 games at the max this year.
They're going to a bowl game this year.
That bet's going to turn over and then some. They play Colorado State this week.
And they'll
when
be
they
college
win,
this year.
They'll win that.
They'll win that. When they win their next game after that,
well, I know about that.
In for hit.
I don't know about Colorado. I don't know about Oregon.
I mean, their biggest challenge is Oregon SC. I don't know if they play Washington. Oregon
here's a trick on Oregon.
They got 10 more games.
The Oregon State coach called out on the back end Deion for what he was doing. And Deion told him and said, wait a minute. How you going to call me out? Didn't y'all just show the Big Ten?
Yeah.
How you going to call me out?
Well, on the surface level of this story, the most topical level, they're winning, they're doing this, they're challenging. That's just the surface level. What I hope for Deion, in terms of this, is that he can complete the season physically. He's not in the best
health.
It is killing them.
Yeah, he's missing toes, man. He's missing about 4 toes.
You lose toes as a circular joint thing. He's got to get massages multiple times to keep that flow right. He's still fresh off surgery. So there's a likelihood as well.
Jackson State, a lot of people were questioning, was he really faking himself? And Luke Williams and a lot of people in the media knew about it, but we couldn't talk about it. Well, a lot of people was questioning
when you talk about the money, the money aspect of Colorado and the impact, these Caucasians are getting paid off this brother.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say I'll be surprised if some other schools come knocking at his door saying nothing against Colorado.
This season is yet to play out. We've just got it going. And remember, Pinata Rogers exploded. They hit that all the candies on the field with some pebbles. Colorado is a still TBD, to be determined.
Yep.
Much ahead.
True.
Much ahead.
Yep.
They better enlarge that stadium and they want to make some money. They better make it 50 to
70. It goes back to the concept where who gets the money, right? Who gets the loot? And so another Boulder is Lily. They can bring as many black celebrities on the sideline as they want.
And they
do all the different things like that. That is, come on, man. That is a tablecloth. That's not the real. you know, the University of Colorado and its historicals and what it's done, and, you know, the fact that they're the Buffaloes and they got this long history. I mean, I can see multidimensionally this whole concept. Yeah, can we get on the surface level? Oh, they're winning. They're going there. This is happening all day long. That's obvious. But there's a lot to be played out on this scenario here. But they're maxing it out. I mean, didn't their brother have a show called Amazon Prime? They did a thing on Sanders when he was still at Jackson State. Amazon went down there on the Prime channel, the same thing as Coach Prime, the Prime channel. And the interesting thing, too, again, this is this show, and I'm not going to delve all the way into it. Why do we, or some people in the current tense, have to create this identity of a third-person hologram called Coach Prime and be who you are?
That's what he's doing for years. That's what he's doing.
When you come up, now I know my era, you know, and I'm certain other people here, I was called like, don't let anyone ever call you out of your name. They had to dress you out of respect. Mm-hmm. When you create this thing to make people comfortable called Coach Prime, sell $55 t-shirts called Prime, that's not who, that's an entity. That is a moniker. Todd
that's
Smith is known as LL Cool J.
Well, somebody put it best about Dion. Dion's a capitalist. That's okay.
Calvin Broad.
That's what he is.
Calvin Broad is a Snoop Dogg. People are so comfortable with the moniker, especially the other man.
So there's a lot of green coming in there. A lot of money.
Now the thing is, we can stay topical with this all day long. Bill Russell was one of the few athletes, and Jackie Robinson and Hank Aaron, they called him Hammer and Hank, but Jackie Robinson, Bill Russell have no nicknames.
No nicknames.
Now, okay, Eric, well, that's
the Hammer.
True that. You know, LeBron James still sticks to that more than the King. He's not pushing the King apparel. He's not asking for people to address him as the King.
Yes,
right. So, in other words, this Coach Prime, now, if you want to take it even further, which I could do automatically because it's how I see it when I look at it, I look at the etymology dictionary. Why are they pushing this prime term? What is a person's definition of the term prime? If you ask a person, what does prime mean, you're going to get a lot of different answers. Right? So these scenarios here were well played, well put out. Oh, yeah, the Nuggets winning a big championship, the Walton family by the Denver Broncos football team. We recruit Dion from the HBCU scenario to Colorado. New style. Colorado's the spot.
It's going to be a spot hot.
Tinto, Mike.
They're coming out. Stephen A. Smith flies private plane out there.
Yeah, them brothers. But you know what? They all can come out, and they still, based on their ethnicity, was less than 2% the crowd.
That's true.
Right.
Not last year at Jackson State.
We interrupt this broadcast to give our props to Coco Gauff, who won her first major.
Thank you.
She did it in Serena fashion.
Yes.
And
I love
what's exceptional about this is that we see tennis champions play.
Yes.
And we see how white announcers will say she does so and so, but someone else did this better. Coco was a perfect translation of the fact that Serena Williams played a certain style, and she emulated that style to the MVP, right down to the backhand, and they can't handle it. She's 19 years old, and they call her a prodigy. No, she was no fucking prodigy. She won the fucking title. She won $3 million. There's more coming. And
thank you.
Well, you can say,
hey, Mike, how you like her acceptance speech where she's talking about her haters? I'd like to thank you because you thought you put water on my fire, but actually you put gasoline on it. I love
it.
I said, that was the inner Serena came out. And that chair umpire, she almost cussed her ass out. She says, not my fault. This bitch plays slow. Her ass need to be ready when I'm at the ready to serve. Get her ass up here and let's go. I said, that ain't
that's
Serena.
True.
You go, girl.
That's
right.
That's confidence. You know the rules. You know the book. And you can stand up for yourself.
God bless her mom and dad.
Hey, Reggie, what ticked me off was the white girl was crying on at the press conference.
Oh,
what you crying for?
She went Karen on everybody.
Please.
The nigga beat me.
I lost to the Negro.
I lost to one of them people.
Right, Chris.
They can't stand it. They're privileged. They used to having privilege. Everything go that way. Look at that background. They're privileged. They can't be beaten by Coco. Go. They go back to the country club. You lost to her. You lost to it. How dare you? Get your ass out of here.
Reggie's being flip about this, but there's some truth in that. There's some meat in that sandwich. They don't want to lose to a Coco Gauff because, again,
hell no.
Coco, she's an athlete. They're going to make those kind of statements. And every time the word athlete is used, you know,
you
I'm going to replace the nigga because that's really what they're saying.
Whenever you can get access to the best coaching, right, because she got the coaching flip, and that, you know, that helps out a lot as well, right? She got the right coaching. She had the talent. She has the skill. So it does come down to the technique and the coaching. And then you can get the best staff. And that was always a challenge with brothers, you know, when they were taking these coaching jobs at these colleges.
Yep.
They weren't getting the right staff, right? Because I believe that Dennis Thurman was the original hire in Colorado to be defensive coordinator. That did not happen. He had to amp that up. He got to see from Alabama.
Okay. Yeah, Hagan got that job, didn't he?
Right. But Thurman was the initial dude when they left J-State. You know, he rolled out. So with Coco, I got to push the next level. It's like, you know, there was always talking Roy Jones had been a better boxer had he got outside of his own father. He looks back at it now and says, probably yes. I mean, even Mayweather's dad, shit. I mean, the worst thing I ever seen was Mayweather's dad in De La Hoya's corner when his son's in the opposite corner.
Yeah, that was deep.
I mean, but that's what happens at these levels. So, you know, where there's a little bit differences with the nuances, you've got to have the right support staff and coaching. So Coco made a flip in coaching. They showed her record. She had everything. She had all the skills, the moxie, the team, whatever. Just needed that polish. Right?
Yep.
And that's what coaching
there
does. That's what coaching does. But what happens is so many oftentimes when brothers get these jobs, they can't play these the best coaches. They won't pay them. So the student in Colorado, I'm going to pay y'all money as a coordinator.
And with Coco, there's something else about Coco in terms of here's what I want to see since she's won this first tournament. She's a young lady who will speak her mind.
Yeah, thank
you. Any kind of regret. Now, here's what you got to watch. What kind of marketing exposure is she going to get because she will not? I'm interested to see what happens.
Well, New Balance broke her off real big, so she got a thing going with New Balance.
Well,
she won. Yeah, they taking care of it, New Balance. In other words, the edginess in today's world marks because if the edginess wasn't working in today's world, you would not have blinged up coaches coaching sidelines for the marketing campaign, right? So there's certain things nowadays. They like that little edgy, but as long as it's in a box, see, that's the hip hop genre thing. The monitor, the look, the view, all that, that's what it is. That's that marketplace thing.
Yep.
You know, and so it was so beautiful about that, though. One thing I love about sports, man, you know, the truth always reigns supreme over time. And either you're going to be a meteor or a comet. A meteor burns bright, fast, and quick. A comet stays in a trajectory and glows nonstop. So, in other words, we've seen meteors come and go, man, and my goodness, I mean, the pinata roll I'm seeing here, it's going to be interesting when the fallout comes and the same people, how they respond then. Very intriguing.
It's strange to me the NBA and losing money. Talking about if your players don't participate, then we're going to fine you $100,000. And the fines will go up. This is up to her, Eric. But who's going to be termed as an all-star? What about the money that they bring in?
I mean, how are they going to determine who's
the NBA is a pure fiasco anyway these days. You know, it's just pure fiasco. The European, the foreign entity element that's dominating the NBA, they've been the last MVPs,
and
right?
And the world, overseas.
USA basketball is a sham. They can't beat Serbia. They can't beat Germany.
I think they just got beat against Canada.
Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised Tobago didn't get a 20-point win. But it goes to show that the form of basketball they play is not the best form. It's wired to a system of what the NBA designed, and they play to a styling that's a unique brand called the NBA basketball. It's not pure basketball across the world. That's why they take it on the chin.
What are they going to determine about who's going to be the pro boys? And if you don't play, you're going to get fined. Who's going to determine what players?
It's going to be interesting. I hear you on that, man. I weigh in on that in a way that, to me, like the way you're wording is kind of senseless. But at the same token of time, they've got these intern tournaments coming up, too. Right in November, they've got this little NBA tournament thing going on, too.
We're going to see how that happens.
With
the promotion of that bad boy, they got ads. It's a test market big time of what the league's going to be.
We'll see.
They have to do something
because around that time of year, the NFL's going towards the playoffs and the winding down the season. The NBA just starts. So it looks like meaningless games for fans across the board. So they're trying to create an attendance and a following behind that. I mean, it's a test. We'll see how that plays out. But it's trying to offset and increase attendance during that time frame that usually is kind of low because there's so many games ahead. The league just started. The NFL playoffs, college football is dominating the teams above the NBA at that time because the NBA just got going. They always say the NBA season doesn't start until Christmas Day. So having that little thing beforehand, they're trying to get a boost and a bump.
That's why they do that marketing piece.
Well, we'll see how it plays out. You know, it's just like we'll see how it plays out because the expectations so often don't mean the thing. I can recall when Doncic had that good bubble tournament when they were playing in the bubble, and so they're going to promote him like Larry Bird. Cricket. No way. He's not from America. Doesn't matter what he does. He's not going to get that. Giannis gets a little love, but he doesn't get more than that. So the thing is. All these things that they're trying to put together is interesting. But one thing that always puzzles me, because, there's some finances and there's big money associated with the universities. But the point of the matter is, if that's not flowing to black pockets, I don't give a damn.
Yep.
Amen.
Mike, can I throw something right quick, Mike? I want to be as professional as I can in regards to this topic. Even though I'm an educated man, and I believe in using linguistics that are appropriate for a particular perspective that the medium can understand. When you got a contract of $95 million for 10 years, you gonna let a piece of pussy get in the way?
I repeat.
That's why I asked
Deion
to be the next coach of Michigan State. That's why I asked that question. They got $75 million. They done saved off of that.
Jesus. And well, Patrick, hold it. Can I wait a second? Oh. When you make a decision. Where Larry Nassar dwells. Where Larry Nassar, the gymnastic coach, dwells.
That
same university had to pay millions of dollars. Anything or any word associated with sexual impropriety from any employee is going to be met heavy-handed as hell, regardless of what your situation is. And then if you also elect to make a decision to pursue a Becky associated with a race organization,
That's what he get. Hey, but Patrick, guess who the last team that he coached against? University of Richmond. The team that Richmond got beat by Morgan State.
Look here, Phyllis.
And they got Delaware State this week.
Patrick. I've been around Wall Street people of extremely high level of finance. I've been around entertainment. I was in on entertainment companies, part owner of it. I've been around athletes of all sorts.
Hedge fund managers,
money,
$1 billion.
Now, here's what happens:
professional
guys
owners,
guys who got women,
get that resume
fly
together.
Fly them in and fly them out. Why you got to be on campus? You know, there's a thing that guy got, my man Jim Leahy, my first VP in pro sports, I mean, like he said, with the Nets, was Jim Leahy. He says, Patrick, you never shit where you eat.
Never.
Keep your dick out the payroll.
But really, what about this story is new?
Good.
Now, there you go
what
again,
about,
man.
No, what
you
about, what about
damn.
This story? I mean, when you're dealing with a conniving master technologist playing the rape card and represents that organization on the campus of Michigan State, where Tom Izzo is now under fire for his players again having sexual assault issues on campus.
It
may be the end of Izzo as well. Larry Nasser, that criminal, low-life gymnastic coach, and what took place in the Michigan State campus. And then you, Mel Tucker, have a rape prevention specialist or whatever her title is associated with that, and that becomes your go-to chick?
Yeah,
I got to say, you fly him in and fly
ain't
out.
Easy.
Fly him in and easy.
Gentlemen, I have to say for the record.
Who's going to ask what, who and what you are?
True that.
Exactly.
You take the play out the game.
Exactly.
The game out the play.
Everywhere he go, he's had that. That's been his game plan. Correct.
I have to say for the record officially that I am not prone to instigating.
Welcome
to America.
$95 million.
You can't fix
it's a wrap.
And
it's a wrap. Hey, Patrick, they never planned. They never, you know, planned on paying him. They knew his weakness. Hey, send Becky over there with the rape team. Let's get this nigga out of here. Let's get this jigger out of here.
Do you know? Do you know how much pussy you can buy with $95 million?
Oh, Mel Tucker. God. Mel Tucker does not know that.
He knows it now.
No, Mel Tucker still don't know it because he's had many to a relationship.
And
I mean, Mel Tucker still doesn't know that.
Guys, like I'm saying,
he's out of a job coaching anyway.
I mean, let's keep it Patrick, Michael, Fred. Let's keep it 100. We've been around athletes of various venues. Some have, you know, some will have major names. And I've been around, you know, this won't be a name drop fest because it's not necessary.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right. And so what I will share to the fans who just only see it through video and DraftKings nowadays and Xbox or whatever the hell they're doing, they will be blown away when they would see the absolute ignorance and lack of intelligentsia from their hero.
Yes. Mm.
Now,
there you go. There you go, breaking things down again. Way to go.
You know what I'm saying?
Way
they
to go,
will be,
right,
why did he
out.
Do such a thing? That was his aptitude that did such a thing. You just didn't know
he
him.
You got to worry about it no more.
And here's what's worse. Me being having some time around owners, they do the same thing. They fly them in and fly them out.
They'll fly somebody in from from Dominican Republic.
A lot of these guys have never had a player card, right? A lot of these guys, if it wasn't for sports, they would never get a whiff. Michael Jordan, when he was at college at North Carolina, he took a home ec class because he figured he was going to spend a lifetime as a bachelor because he wasn't able to pull some chicks.
Thank you.
That's a fact.
He wasn't able to pull no chicks playing basketball in North Carolina.
I mean, he was bad. He was learning how to vacuum and boil eggs.
Jimmy Black could pull a chick in as short as he was.
But what I'm saying is, well, that's how you see it.
Oh, my God.
But that's how you see it. But that's the same person that gets caught up in fraternity suits with Bessie. Right?
Never
had that level of experience and exposure. So now all of a sudden the groupies got the drop on who you are. Now you're the man of town, and you realize it's all bullshit, actually.
There are so many athletes. I'm going to amen what you said. Unfortunately,
thank you.
There were so many athletes. You'd be surprised who got no game.
Literally,
no
game. I've been around. My goodness, I mean, athletes for so many years of my life that it's like hanging out with the fellas. I don't see it as nothing special, right? It's just what it is.
And I have listened to some of the
language spoken to the lady, and I was like, my goodness gracious, dude,
okay,
you're going to get
Steve
yourself
Harvey.
In trouble.
Go ahead, Steve Harvey.
Do you know how much money Mike Irvin settled for?
$95 million
Jesus God.
Well. What it is you have the ego.
That's enough to buy a country.
You got the ego to think about. I mean, they don't see. I mean, $95 million is off the book.
You got that right.
It's off the book because the thing in college, you have that personal. What is that thing? That personal. Conduct thing, that voids your contract. I mean, Rick Pitino was getting. Let's not get off. But look how Rick Pitino bounced back.
Yeah.
I mean, he was bringing in hoes to the player, bringing in strippers. I mean, he was messing with someone on his staff, and now he's just getting broken off by St. John's. It won't work that way for you, Melly Mel. Off to maybe you get a job at Fort Valley State or something, but it's over.
Nah, man, they got their own problems. Hey, but Patrick, how much did Mike Irvin settle for Marriott? Did you ever see what the price was that Michael got out of Marriott? Some said $100 million, some said $50 million. Have you heard anything, Patrick?
No.
So what happened in that?
Michael Irvin. I don't know if it's that high.
I know he's back on the sports NFL network. They went nothing back on. There's somebody to sell him. That's what pissed me off. Betty goes out
My thought process on Irvin was, you know, he dropped the case and there was no follow up.
He got paid.
My final thoughts, I'm going to tell you something that's really knocked me out concerning that. I saw him on Sunday. He was extremely. Of course, I've been seeing him on Fox too. So he's doing okay now.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, he's back on payroll, so he's good.
You go to the brothers for help. Ain't that a bitch?
Let's put it this way. It ain't that bad. Or you get that guy like Carton on Fox. Who was in jail? Who was a criminal? And he got a show now. Give me a break.
And a gambler.
And a gambler.
Cart was the worst.
He was the worst.
You know what, Patrick? You know what, Patrick? That's such a terrible show. I could stand about 30 seconds of it.
I don't watch. I had to turn my
right
back
because I you know what got me was one day he had three brothers on his panel.
That's
he
right.
Was Tim Hardaway, the brother that played some receiver for the Vikings, and another brother that played some receiver for the Packers and the Raiders. Right, I don't recall their names. They're all sitting, and he's standing. It's dumb. It was like he was their mentor or their lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you sit down and look up to your master carton. That's what it looked like.
I couldn't take the visual.
Yeah, he's standing. They're all sitting where they got to look up to him.
That's right.
Well, you know, well, what do you think about this? And they're looking, yeah, that's horrible visuals. I had to bounce.
He sucks.
He always has.
We got Gary Gray in the house. He just finished playing with
Double G. How'd that pot roast turn out, G?
What's going on?
How'd the pot roast turn out?
Where the hell you been? What's wrong with you, man? Who's been here? Where the hell you been? Oh, you got a young
kitchen.
Lady. That's what you G. You ain't fooling me. You have a hot date. Go ahead, G. Roll it
up. Cooking up that casserole.
With that smooth jam.
I got to take care of my goddaughter, okay? I got to take care of my goddaughter.
Oh, there you go.
He rolled in with the lady. Go on, G.
Say, G, what's one of the Raiders, G?
What's that, G?
What's one of the Raiders?
Hey, Oh, the nation, man, the nation. Y'all won the game.
Garoppolo.
Yeah, man, we'll see what happens.
Damn, don't sound so excited, G. Damn.
Hey, G, the last time I heard about your quarterback, he was giving out the rain checks to, you know, some faithful fans at the Cat House. That offered them endless buffet service.
That ain't right.
Jimmy Pono.
No, he's got the endless buffet service. He's handing out rain checks.
Pono Jim.
Anybody have a question about Twinkle Toes? What was Twinkle Toes out there in the fourth quarter?
Jimmy G got a W.
Twinkle Toes. And Mr. Diamond. Danny Dimes. Jones and the
New
York Giants. What are they doing?
Whoa, terrible. 40 to 6.
And they're going to lose a lot more before the season's over. My question is this. With Jones, Purdy, Burrow, and Abraham or Herbert, you get them matched up against the Field Generals. The balance of power has definitely shifted toward the black quarterback that are playing in the league right now. And I want to see what happens in a couple weeks or so in their belt. All the new kids, they get their first trial by fire. We're going to see what happens. It's a long season, but it's a good start.
Mike, I got to ask you a question. You're the quarterback. Russell Wilson, what's your take?
Listen, Russell Wilson
is a bump
with a capital F. He can't get out of his own way because he's done things a certain way. And his receivers don't understand that. Please, get open. We don't give a fuck what you do, what pattern you run off the tree. Just get open. I'll find you. And that hasn't happened yet. And I don't know how many more weeks it'll take before they get in sync. But as long as they can catch a ball, Denver will be okay.
Russell Wilson is in trouble because the head coach is a control freak, okay? So Russell has to conform to what he wants, and he ain't going to happen.
Yeah, that's true in part. That's true in part that he's a control freak. But the bottom line is, it's been very rare when a quarterback starts out as great and a potential Hall of Famer and turns into a dud. And Russell Wilson is in danger of becoming that if he has a light of fire under his own age and get going.
Is he spiraling downwards like McNabb? You know, it had that hot early on. No? I mean, I watched the game and the score was
for me, it's
76-6.
It's hard to tell. Because I don't think so. Until
what's hard to tell?
What's hard to tell?
Know.
Yeah, Sean Payton off had said changed the whole offense. He's still adjusting big time.
I'm going to say,
same score as last year, 17-16 opener, Raiders.
Unbelievable.
That's true. But you know what? It's ironic that you mentioned McNabb because I was in a car the other day, and he was on Sports Talk doing analysis.
Okay.
And now they realize that, well, you know what? Donovan ain't so dumb. Yes, he belongs to the Hall of Fame. But you got
never
a bunch
was.
Of pussies at 94.1 WIP that don't know dick about football, and they do not understand his overall logic and his approach toward the game. All they know is he's got a Philly guy. Where the fuck a Philly guy is. And they trash
I like
him.
That. Yeah, the Philly guy,
And it's going to be tough. Because, Mike, you know what, Mike? You know what's going to be tough, Mike? The radio station who are attached to the writers are going to be the ones who have to nominate him. It's going to be
tough. Exactly. That's what makes it tough.
Good luck.
That's what makes
it tough.
Yeah, that's all
I know. That the day capabilities are not requesting that they need to get rid of AstroTurf. Wait a minute.
We didn't know about that. Yeah.
20 years ago, we wanted to get rid of AstroTurf.
Too little, too late.
Yeah, that's true. So if you look at Russell Wilson in the AFC, you've got Tagalova, you've got my man with the Lamar, you have
Lamar Jackson,
you have Mahomes. So is he even in the top five as a top five AFC quarterback? I don't see it.
He's got to sleep on him. That's right. He has to develop a relationship with a receiver. And at the time when he got the Denver,
Joe Burrow's right. I mean, if you look at the AFC quarterbacks, he's not even top five.
He's not.
In the conference.
He's not, but he needs a receiver. When Russell was in Seattle, he always had a receiver, or at least one, that he could count on. When there was trouble, he'd go to Baldwin, or he'd go to Lockett, or Metcalf. He has nothing like that in Denver.
And that tight end, right? The tight end could use well, too.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham. I mean, he's back in the league after 3 years, right?
Loaded.
So Graham was there.
He was loaded, but the most important thing was whenever they
and
got the huddle, everybody was hyped, and they knew I better find myself open or with my pattern because Russell could get the ball to me. It was always that possibility, so nobody took a playoff or jinxed it in the huddle. It's not like that in Denver, and that little control freak might be part of the reason why. He may be part of the problem.
I think he's a control freak. I really do.
Yeah.
Patrick, how dumb is the Colts front office by not having that brother, the running back, what's his name, last name, Taylor?
Jonathan Taylor.
I mean, if you have Taylor to offset Richardson, right?
Yeah.
You need a good back. I mean, with the Jets, they went out and got Dalvin Cook and everything. Taylor would have helped,
He
would have helped offset that.
It might be come back in 6 weeks.
Okay.
But the whole point is, Rory, they want to hold on to this philosophy that running backs are not needed.
Right.
And we know how false that is. As the year goes on, it's going to get worse. Because running backs,
Ezekiel ever get back in the league? Look like he's dealing with, you know, a no-shot situation. Like a Catholic.
They're not going to feature him. He's just going to compliment the offense. They're not going to feature him. That's Bill O'Brien's offense.
Yeah.
Right.
Only person that Bill O'Brien's ever picked as an offensive running back was Barkley of the Giants.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Gentlemen, we are at that point where it is time to get our cookies off and speak our minds in our closing things out. And Reggie, you take the lead, please.
Well, I always say that anytime you have unruly fans, you need to go ahead and send the police dog out there, go fetch. Well, they had a person that was a killer that they caught yesterday. He had been on the news, I think, about 2 weeks.
Cavalcante. Danilo Cavalcante.
First thing they did was they sent the dogs out there. Well, the brother came up with a stolen Philadelphia Eagles football jersey. I said, it figures.
They found him with an Eagle jersey?
Yeah.
Wow, that's wild.
And what the cops did was stripped his ass naked, damn the neck, had his drawers on, took the jersey off. Had his ass parading around. And look, the police dog had lacerations on his head and around his face. So the dog said, your ass ain't going nowhere. So like I said, if you want to...
Well, you know what, think about Cavalcante, where all that whack law enforcement that was in a two-week chase on this dude, they should thank him for all the overtime they made for all their Christmas gifts coming up, because they got paid.
Shit.
He cost the state of Pennsylvania millions. That chopper, they had to pay all these people, man, 24 hours overtime, because you on the manhunt, you don't take off.
That's right. And, I mean, they hunted that down. All I'm saying is that it's
very elusive, though, dude. You got to prop him up, how he escaped, how he walked that wall and cleared the razor wire. Dude, you want him on the street, man. Guy was masterminding shit. Very smart, too. Very elusive.
And had a stolen rifle with him when they caught him.
And he didn't get shot,
correct. They didn't kill him. I said, ain't no way he was going back to the can, man. He's costing people too much money, too much fear. But they brought him back into custody, so guess what? He kept his life.
Well, here's the irony. The prison where Cavalcante was is right next door to Harris Casino.
Oh, shit.
Is that saying so
going his way?
Right.
I mean, with his luck, if he had a quarter, he would have won and shit. But they, you know, all.
Now, that's fucked up.
It's going.
Give the brother a quarter, hit the jackpot.
This dude is finding delivery trucks that got the keys in the ignition. I mean, come on, man.
Y'all guys, bro, I'm so damn jealous. I had too much fun. I'm so jealous.
Good one, Reggie. I didn't know you had the Eagles jersey. Was it McNabb? Who? I mean, I was
it like no, it was a regular jersey.
He was
warm.
It was cold out
there. What was that dude? Riley something that made the races to Riley Green, that receiver or whatever his name was?
It was just a pullover sweat jersey.
It wasn't Wilbur Montgomery throwback?
No, it wasn't a jersey. It was just a pullover sweat jersey. The Eagles.
Come on, they had
to make sure a dude had nothing on him completely, man. A cat like that could be holding shit anywhere. So, they had a dude like him.
I'm surprised they're alive. Mike, we all know Mike. Everybody in here knows. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And all get together at the cookout, you know. And having a cookout is so important to our folk, because no matter what you are, we're gonna sit here and deal with it today. Someone has put the show together called the cookout. And the host of the cookout is none other than your friend and mine, Jason Witless, or Jason Whitlock.
Mr. J. The cookout.
He's about Shoney's fat boy. Fat boy Shoney.
Now, so and on this show, he had, of course, two brothers to kind of help him out to have some kind of credibility. He had Warren Sapp and he had Seth Joyner. Okay? But they had some standing
two crackheads.
All right?
Yeah.
So, but the trick is, you know, the whole setting was not to cut off, you know, they had the aluminum, they had aluminum foil stands out like they have a cookout. But the thing is, it looked like a whole bunch of MAGA people in the stands with the American flag in the background in the setting. But that's now, it gets better. Oh, it gets much better. Besides Seth and Warren Sapp, his other guest was somebody I would excoriate every time I get a chance, only because I know the father of the individual who was the lone black player that played in the Army. His name was Steele, and his daughter is Sage.
Oh, no.
Well, no.
She was there.
Not Jay Steele.
Wait, oh, no,
Jay
fellas. His daughter is better than that, fellas. Oh, are you ready? Now, with that's going on, but first we get the NFL. Everybody that's anybody that's in NFL is being featured. Guess who his last guest was sitting in the chair with his feet on the table as they talked? None other than Reggie's boy and mine, Brett Favre.
the thief himself, the thief, stealing welfare checks.
At all the in the thief. NFL, have you seen, when did I say when he's Brett Favre on an NFL show? Last season, ain't seen none. But this brings on Brett Favre.
The thief.
That's all I got to say, because ain't even mama start cussing.
I need a drink behind that shit. Fred, come on with it.
Tiffin ain't
Gary,
easy.
Hook him up, man. Hook Mike up to drink.
Tiffin ain't easy.
Well, first of all, let me brush salt in the wound with Reggie.
Oh, Lord.
A few days ago, the Winston-Salem, Forsyth County Parks and Rec named a new park in honor of Tim Grant. Tim was one of Bowser's last assistants, and he took over the Parks and Rec Department and really maxed it out, did a great job. He's one of them guys who I always tell people about, show your child the business side of basketball or football or whatever, because Tim played just a little more than his majesty, but he actually played, but he became a good assistant for him, and we had a 20 plus year relationship with him on the bench, and the new park was named Zion, and it is quote state of the art. The other thing I want to mention was, as we're going into the new season of football and all this kind of stuff, you know, keep your eye on more than just Neon and Dion and all that kind of crazy crap, because so much of
that
is just bells and whistles. You know, as I'm working on this project with HBCUs, naming some of the outstanding any of the players or coaches that are named are actually being honored for something other than whatever the sport was. And as I go through, I find that there's a lot of good to great things that's going on at HBCUs long before there was a Neon. You know, case in point.
Prime.
You know, everybody talks about Neon, about, you know, Coach Prime this and Coach Prime that.
Prime.
Do any of y'all remember a young man named Alvin Wyatt that coached at Patone Cookman? Homeboy was short. He had several outfits that he wore regularly to games. And occasionally he would show up in a three-piece suit on the sideline.
Like the girls later.
He had glitz and glitter coming out of Yin Yang even before he knew that there was a Neon Dion. Yeah. So like I said, we were doing great things at HBCU long before he came on the scene. And even though he says that he makes a big issue, you know, I think he went to Tougaloo or Talladega and got his degree.
Yeah, yeah. He had to do that to take the coaching job at Jacksonville.
That's right.
He cannot be non-degreed head coach in college sports.
That's right.
Eddie Jordan had the same situation at Rutgers. He literally had the Rutgers job and didn't have his degree.
He had
to pull back.
I was right there.
Right? Remember that, Pat?
That's right.
He used to be the Wizards basketball coach.
And Eddie's my main man. Yeah. Shout out to Fast Eddie.
Yes.
You know, and my point, you know, and my point goes back to what we were talking about, I think it was last week.
Right.
There are some schools, and I was looking at Grambling. There are some schools you go to, you have no excuse for failure because the whole
thing
walks up on you right there in front of you, and you see all the great men and women who went to the NFL, who've gone to the Olympics, who are just doing great things in the community.
Yeah.
So, because see, quiet as it was kept, you know, Dr. Cherney from once Tennessee State, he helped teach these guys how to fly in space. And they thought when they first met him, they thought he was a janitor because he was the only black in the room. And it turns out he was the one that taught them how to fly through all these trajectories and stuff. And he was directly and indirectly connected to the women they call the human computers. And most of them were from HBCU.
The NASA ladies.
You're right.
Catherine Johnson.
There you go. Let's respect BlackHeritageReview.com, giving us the serious intel and reminding everybody that black
been there, done that.
Black equals exceptional. Black equals unique. Black equals unparalleled. Way to go, Professor. Eric, come on with it.
Yes, sir. I mean, that shifted my trajectory on what I want to say because, and I thank you for that, Professor, because, again, when this saves the HBCU thing, you know, I'm here for the HBCU when all it was getting uniforms for the SWAC schools. There's a 40-something plus or more HBCU schools. So this was not no uniform. You did it for all of them. So with that being said, let's talk about what happens when someone actually does something for HBCU. Hot off the press, as of today, U.S. News World Report, I like to give them where people can verify their own. U.S. News and World Report report the following. I'm going to just touch on two paragraphs. First paragraph, the HBCU Transformation Project, a coalition of 40 historically black colleges and universities on Wednesday, today, announced a $124 million gift from philanthropic funders Blue Meridian Partners to increase enrollment, graduation rates, and employment rates for the school's graduates. Nothing to do with the football record. Nothing to do with on the field shit. How about all these other, I don't know what the GPA is for that Colorado football, but I'm under the understanding there's going to be some looky-loos into the academia transfer. But the next paragraph will say, Michael Lomax, president and CEO of UNCF, which is acting as an intermediary overseeing the funding, called the donation a vote of confidence in the coalition, which includes public and private schools. The donation will expand the work of the project, which has already reached $75 million from Blue Meridian since 2020. The project's early results in improving enrollment and other core operations were strong. So basically, they're putting up another $200 million on this topic. All right? So that's helping black universities, and it has nothing to do with tossing a rock or equipment or a home game. That's going to help the overwhelming populace of the student body and the gifted ones that are coming through the circle. Now, that is what's called helping out HBCUs.
Thank
you. Like that. That was on time, man. Excellent. Gary, come on with it.
Well, last week in Fuzzy Meadows, New York, in Dennis, we crowned a new queen.
Yeah.
Coco Golf did her do in New York.
I'm cuckoo for Coco Golf.
I'm cuckoo for Coco Golf.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen.
Good one, Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this lady is the best woman I've ever seen in Dennis.
Yeah.
And the power of Serena, but she has a speed way faster than Serena. If this woman ever gets the power, it's over. It's over.
Well, maturity, yeah. She's
and
quick.
So
you got great reflexes. Yeah.
Every afternoon.
What's the music matchup, man? Is it the Spinners
it's
against
the January.
All right.
January.
You love the fact that Coco got her first. It won't be the last. And I hope that she and Naomi Aoki will team up in doubles.
Yes.
And I'm really suffering for everybody's ass.
Yes.
You know, there's been a lot said in the past 2 hours, and much of it has been over 100% on point. But I still have a bad taste in my mouth because I left with one thought. And I have to reiterate one more time. Do you know how much pussy you can get with $95 million?
You know, they will let white folks make a movie about any goddamn thing. Look at Hollywood. Scissorhands, give me a fucking break. Somebody is on crack. Somebody smoking a pipe at the studio. Somebody at the studio is smoking crack. Scissorhands, throw mama from the train. Only white folks can throw their mama from a damn train, and it's a hit fucking movie. Ain't that some crazy shit? Throw mama from the goddamn... What's the other thing? White men can't jump. They don't have to. They own the team. Some white man is at the bank right now. Ooh, my niggas are jumping. Oh, jump, nigga. White daddy make you jump. Jump. Oh, jump. Single white female. They'll let white folks make a movie about any fucking thing. But I knew they were crazy when they let them make Driving Miss Daisy. In the 90s, Driving Miss Daisy. Fuck Miss Daisy. I will walk before I drive some goddamn Miss Daisy. Some old Jewish woman, I'll take a bagel and beat the shit out of Miss Daisy. This is the 90s. I'll drive that bitch to an alley and rob her. I will do a carjack. Miss Daisy would be on the fucking bus. She fuck with me. See, a lot of you are relating, but a lot of white folks are not laughing. They're holding back because they love that Tar Baby, Aunt Jemima, let's go back bullshit. Oh, me dating that love it. Fuck that. I don't like that cooning, happy slave bullshit. See, you're white. You can go back. Back to the Future. They like all that shit. You can skip on back. Your little ass is white. I go back. I can only go back so far. Then my black ass is in chains. Fuck you. I'm not going back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Trying to trick a nigga back. Come on, nigga. Come on back. Come back to Jamaica. Come on. No, I'm going to stay here in the 90s where I can tell you to kiss my black ass. I didn't like the ending of that movie. In the rest home, he's feeding it. Oh, you my best friend. I said, look, poison this bitch so I can go home and get to sleep. What they going to do? Let Spike Lee write and direct part 2? Driving Miss Daisy some more? But my favorite, I have to confess, I swear, don't tell anybody, Lassie. I love that fucking Lassie. Was that a smart dog? God damn, that dog was smart. Remember how Lassie used to start? That was Lassie whistling. That dog was smart, wasn't it? And then they talked to Lassie like Lassie was a person. You know, they just white folks talk to Lassie like they grew up. Lassie, hey Lassie, hi girl, how's your mom? Oh Lassie, I love you. Call me in an hour, Lassie. I mean, talk to fucking Lassie. I saw one episode where Grandpa drove him somewhere, remember, and had a heart attack. Lassie drove him to the hospital and made a left turn. I said, God damn, Lassie, this is a smart fucking dog. Lassie got dogs killed. I had a little mixed ghetto dog. I must have hit that dog in the head with a hammer. I said, motherfucker, if Lassie can do it, you go do it. I said, you better talk back. I'm going to give you to the Vietnamese family. I bet they'll make your ass talk. You'll holler for help. I bet they'll make you talk. Oh, but that lasted. And then one episode, they got burglarized. They said, oh, girl, what did that take, girl? What? Were there any niggers? Any dark one girls? Any real dark ones? That black girl? Make out the police report last year. I used to always like put, you know, your race because you're black into movies. I always thought Frankenstein was a nigga. No, because all the white folks were always chasing Frankenstein. Huh? Got him! Got him! He was always running like a nigga. And he grunted like niggas. And when he catch him, he's just like a nigga. He'd whoop their ass. Frankenstein threw motherfuckers all over the place. Say, get him, nigga! He steals shit, remember? And then white people were scared of him like they're scared of niggas. Oh, what was that? What was that? Niggas behind it to him? That shit used to fuck me up. I'm sorry. He'd be trying to catch that nigga, wouldn't he? Crazy wild shit. No, that's why I can't get ready for the shit. The movies are crazy. White films, I'm sorry, white folks, it's crazy shit. One thing in Hollywood, they don't like black men and they don't like white women. You white women here, some of you are uncle women, so you know what I'm talking about, but the ones that are up on the shit, you know the game. You watch the movies come out of Hollywood, what they think of white women. They don't give a fuck about a white woman. They put you with freaks. Beauty and the Beast. Come on, that's bestiality. A white woman with a fucking monster. I know a monster when I see one. Oh, it's his insides. Fuck that. That's a fucking lion. Have a white lady fucking him all night and shit. Come on. Don't take your kid to see that shit. 4 or 5 years from now, your kid will be in the kitchen fucking the dog singing Beauty and the Beast. Sick shit. King Kong. They ran to get that white woman. Oh, get a white woman. She'll fuck that big gorilla. Get a white woman. Princess and the Frog. Oh, get a pretty white woman. Get a frog. That's freak shit. And a fucking frog. Elephant Man. I love you. White lady. Swamp Thing. White woman. I love you. The fly. Big old green eyes thorn. Get a white woman. I love you. Sick shit. That's sick white shit. Put a black woman in these movies and see don't the dialogue change. Put a black lady in The Fly. You big-eyed motherfucker. You'll never buzz on this pussy. I bet when I get this black flag, you get the fuck out of my face. Swamp Thing, you better get your ass back in them pot of greens. I ain't through cooking them greens. frog, elephant man, lion. Get your ass in the car. We're going to the zoo to find you somebody, because ain't a goddamn thing happening here. But they just give the white woman dumb lines. I love you. They don't give a fuck about the white lady. If they ain't raping a white lady, if they ain't sexual, if they don't have you fucking everything in the movie, then they chopping your head off. White women aren't safe in a dream. If you fall asleep, Freddy gets after your ass. Freddy gets after you. You cannot be safe in a goddamn dream. And then you guys wonder why the serial killer wants you. He goes to the movie, and the movie says, kill the white woman. In fact, kill about 50 of them. That's some cold shit.
And it's the deal. I get a little carried away because, fuck it, it's real.
But that's why I can't watch television, because it's too wild. Because they got crazy shit on Star Trek, the new generation. Who's writing this futuristic stuff for black folks? Who's writing this? One nigga's blind, the other one like his mother fucked a turtle. Who's writing this? Whoopi Goldberg running around looking like a fugitive from a pancake box. Who's writing this shit?